A long, long time ago, Jesus told his disciples, "Don't be troubled, trust in me." He's built mansions way up there, and there's many more that he'll prepare. So where he is, someday we too can be. I'm serving Jesus while I'm living. He lives in me and I'm forgiven. I'm feeding on the Bible and I'm praying for revival. I don't know if I'll be alive when he comes to take his spotless bride, but I know I'll meet him up on high and taste that heavenly pie. Drove my Ford with the Lord in the sweet by and by, and live forever in my home in the sky, up in heaven on the day that I die. Heaven on the day that I die. He said there's a book of love, and if we have faith in God above, 'cause the Bible tells us so. Oh, we will meet him up in the end, and all his glories we will share, and I'll tell you that's a place I wanna go. Well, I don't know, but I've been told that the streets up there are paved with gold. Come with me, I'll show you. that I die. I met a girl from Africa, and I asked her where the throne room was, and she said, it's right here down the hall. I told her all the sights I'd seen were more than I could ever dream, but I want to see my Savior most of all. And there all knees were bowing slowly, with angels crying, holy, holy. And on the throne above me, my Jesus there who loves me. He came right down and took my hand. He said, it's time to wake up, man. But soon you'll be back here again to taste that heavenly power. With the Lord in the sweet by and by, and live forever in my home in the sky, up in heaven on the day that I die.
I'm counting on you to know this. This came out of the Blue Book.
It's an easy learn.
They tell me of a hope
far beyond the skies,
and they tell me of a hope
far away. Oh, they tell me of a hope where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh,
I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to have to change my message for Sunday morning to keep up with that. Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time this week in John chapter 12 through 14. Ties into the message and actually ties into tonight. But one of the things that I noticed, and I'm going to share this Sunday morning, but I'm going to give you a little glimpse of it, is if you look at John chapter 12 through 14 and some of the things that you see here, Jesus predicting his betrayal, and he's talking to the disciples, and then he's saying to them, do not let your heart be troubled. And then he keeps talking about, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And all this time, the disciples are arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, all this stuff that he's talking about, and they're concerned about somebody, you know, somebody being better than they are or something. And it's like, good grief. Sounds like 2017. And in the world today that we see it. We've been doing these healing services about once a month, and sometimes we sneak a second one in and give people an opportunity to come to be prayed for, because we believe God heals people. And if you don't, then I'm going to prove it tonight. So, well, he's actually going to prove it. I'm just going to share some things with you that he showed me today. But one of the thoughts that came to my mind as I was preparing this yesterday was, there are people being healed all over the world. More people are being healed in countries like Asia and Africa, the Middle East, than they are in America. And there's one reason why. It's a term, unbelief. We have tried to take out of Scripture what the Scripture says. And we have all tried, and I love that song about John Wesley and John Calvin. Because I can imagine those two guys saying, what in the world have we spent centuries arguing about? Because it's all about Jesus. And it's all about being born again. So I'm just wondering, you know, and when you hear those things, it's like, man, the gospel is simple. We have made it difficult. And I've said this before. It seems like the church has made it difficult for people to get saved, for people to grow in grace, to be disciplined. Because we spend too much time talking about being saved, and are you saved, when a person knows that they're forgiven. That we need to discipline people, and we, you know, and not discipline, but disciple people. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do with this this healing ministry that. And I see our church as a center for healing. You know, I see it as a center for a lot of other things too, but that's just one of the things. Anyone can pray for anyone to be healed. I have a big secret for you. It ain't the pastor's responsibility. He's part of it. And I have that opportunity to do it. And the Bible says that if you're sick, call the elders. And that's one of the great things about being a leader and being a pastor. But he said that all people can lay hands on the sick. All people can lay hands on the sick. And when they do, he goes on to say, they will recover. And somewhere, I got to walk out here and get some paper and some pens, because I thought maybe somebody might want to jot down some scriptures tonight. And I will just, I'm going to give this to Nancy, and just, if you want to take one and just pass them around. But we're going to be talking about a lot of scripture tonight, and looking at what does the Bible say about healing. Jesus says everyone can do this. He said everybody ought to be laying hands on the sick. And he says when you do, they will recover. And that's the thing that I think that we need to keep in mind, Mark 16:18. The second part of that verse says they will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. And that's a promise that he's made and he's given to us. I'm given the responsibility to share this with everybody and to work with people in the body of Christ, no matter what gift it is, to learn more about it and to develop the gifts that he has given to us. In Ephesians 4:11-12, he said, "And his gifts to the church were varied. And he himself appointed some as apostles," and this is from the Amplified, and that they are special messengers or representatives, "some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ," or to build up the church. And so when we talk about church and we talk about the body of Christ, we are talking about us, all of us. Non-believers are part of the body of Christ. They just haven't accepted Jesus. But he created every one of us, and we've said this before, with his Spirit in us and with a measure of faith. There's good news for all of us. It really makes no difference if it's you or if it's someone that needs prayer. God will work through it. In John 14:12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." And so when we go back and we look at the gifts, and we're going to talk about those, but when we look at the gifts, he has given all of us those gifts. He just expects us to use them. All believers, what John was saying there is, will do these works. It's not limited to ministers. It's not limited to believers. There's just a shortage of believing believers to do the work. Now, I don't expect a lot of head shaking and nodding and everything, but that's really what it is. The church is full of a lot of non-believing believers. They believe that they're saved, but they don't believe that they're equipped, or they don't believe that God has given them a gift. And when a church is flowing with the gifts of the Spirit, the church is growing, because there's someone there to meet the need that anyone has. And that's when exciting things begin to happen. So it starts by renewing our mind. It starts by, for example, getting into the Gospel of John, chapters 12 through 14. Taking a look at that. What's it say? What's he telling us? And when you look at it, and I honestly had looked at John and then realized that it wasn't in John where it said that they began to argue over who was the greatest. It was in Luke. And so you begin to look at the Gospels, and they all kind of communicate, they communicate the same thing, but there's different writers. There's fishermen, there's doctors writing these things. Matthew was a tax collector. And so when we look at this, they all have the same message, the same gospel, but they just communicate it differently. So it starts with renewing our mind. Faith is based on knowledge. And I actually entitled this, and I thought, and when I did, you always got to come up with a title. Faith for healing is based on knowledge. It's what do we know that we can communicate to someone else through our faith. There's a lot of things going on in the world and a lot of teaching going on in the world that is wrong. And so a victorious Christian needs to have some knowledge on how to explain things to people. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, he said, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So what he's saying here is that we have this power that he's given to us, and that we escape the garbage and the nonsense and everything that's going on in the world because he has given us a divine nature, a new nature. So there's a few things I think we need to know. Number one is he has already placed in each and every one of us the ability to pray for someone's healing. Healing power. Now that doesn't mean that we have the gift of healing, but that means that God can bestow upon anyone at any time the gift of healing, the gift of ministry, the gift of serving. Any of those gifts that he has, he can bestow upon someone at any time. And when he does that, he gives us the authority. And so when we pray for somebody and we speak healing into them, we're speaking it on the authority that he has given to us. And then we always conclude the prayer in his name to give him the glory for it. But he wants us to do the work. Something else I learned. It isn't up to God to determine who receives healing. It's up to us. Because he said, "Greater works will we do than he did." He could only heal so many people. We can only heal so many people. We'll pray for their healing. But when he's given us the authority to do that, it's not just up to to God to come along and say, "Well, we need to pray for, somebody at the IGA store today." We should be open to the Holy Spirit, but we should be open to that person's need. And we'll know that through that divine knowledge. There is also, I think, in the church today, a failure to grasp the knowledge that God has given to us. A failure to take a hold of what we know. One of the things that we see in the grief share program, and also it's a divorce care thing, is when people go through this and they suffer, whether it be the loss of a loved one or it be the loss of a husband or a wife, and the question comes up, "Well, what do I do? I don't know." And the answer in both of those situations is do the next thing. For some people, it might just be getting up and brushing your teeth. But that becomes the next thing. And that's what we as Christians need to do, is we need to do the next thing. We need to grasp on to what he has given to us. And then when we start doing it, it will just flow out of us, and we will have no idea who's going to be next when we come upon anyone that needs a need. So we need to know and understand healing. It's not God's will for people to be sick. There are some people, bless their wrong hearts, that think that God made them sick so he can get glory out of it. He gets glory out of a person's healing. He doesn't get any glory out of somebody being sick. And so a person that tells you that, I would jump right in the middle of them as graciously as I could and say, "No. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. sickness, cancer, crutches are not good. There's no way around it. I mean, you just can't. There's just no way around it. He wants every person healed every time that we pray for him. That's the message. Greater things will we do. But we've got too many non-believing Christians that are either living in unbelief or living in fear. And all you got to do is just, if you see someone in need, just walk up and say, can I pray for you? Just don't assume that they want you to pray for them. It's like Jesus when he said to the several people that he did that were ill or crippled, he said, do you want to be healed? It's the same thing of asking him if we can pray for him. Is it okay if I pray for you? One of the most elementary principles in the Bible is given to us in James chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a pretty basic, pretty simple philosophy, pretty simple principle that he's trying to say to us. It's just resisting. Get away from me, Satan. And then start quoting some scripture. I've got some healing scriptures here that I want to just pass out to you. We pass these out every time that we do one of these services. But I would encourage you to take them you could cut them up and tape them somewhere, but I purposely printed them on both sides so that you need to go through and read them and write them on a sticky note and stick them around your house. I make no apologies for that. But read them every day. Get them into your heart. Get them into your scripture. Get them in the scripture in to your spirit by renewing your mind to it. Sickness and disease are the devil. If we believe that God allows us to be sick, that's a direct contradiction to what James says. Because he's saying, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Turn away from him. Believe in God. That's what our healing is for. 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. And what John is writing to them, and the Bible, we believe, is the inspired word of God, that the Holy Spirit inspired these writers. And so there are people out here, and they take part of that and preach a prosperity gospel. But you have to preach the part that says that I wish above all things that your soul prospers. It's not just about getting rich, but I think that part of what he's saying here is he wants us not only to prosper financially, he wants us to prosper mentally, he wants us to prosper physically, because there's no separation when he sits down and tells us that he wants us to do something. He's not separating one aspect of it. He's not separating the mental part of it from the physical part of it. He's not separating those from the spiritual part. So John was writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, 38, he summarized it by saying, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, and keep that, and that's a good verse to keep in mind, because Acts 10:38, because if anybody says, well, this sickness is from God, it is not from God. It is from the devil, because he's the one that oppresses us. He's the one that pulls us down. Isaiah, and we talk a lot about the New Testament, but in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. So when we look at that, and this says we are healed, what this is saying is it's already done. It's not, you know, it's, we could have easily said we have been healed. Because that's exactly what he's saying. It is done. It's over. So these verses to me show us that there is truly a part of the atonement of Christ that had to do with our physical healing, as well as our spiritual healing. Healing is healing. And we have talked and shared oftentimes about we believe that people are healed during communion. People are healed praying for other people. People are healed when people pray for them. And I know sometimes when we look at this and we think that, you know, we say, well, the Lord's redeemed us from sickness. And that becomes a pretty bold statement when, you know, when you live in a world of unbelief. And there will be people, and then there are people that come through these doors that say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, get sure about it, because that's what it says. It's like I said last week, if we don't believe there's a hell, then we might as well throw away the Bible. If we can't accept, you know, a statement like that, or we can't accept something like that, we might as well throw it away. Isaiah was talking here about physical healing, emotional healing, the same thing that Jesus had talked about. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 talks about Jesus healed all the sick people that were brought to him. Healed all the sick. And then verse 17 says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias, the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So we will run into people not too many days hence that will not believe that God heals people. But there's absolutely no support in the scripture that says He will not heal. It's all based on knowledge and faith. Knowledge believing that what He said He would do, and faith believing in what He said He would do. So we're going to celebrate communion, and I always say this, and one of the really great things I love about the Methodist Church is the fact that you don't have to be a member of the church to participate in communion. And to me that's, you know, it's one of the great things. And so as we celebrate, you know, communion tonight, and we realize what it means, think about the fact that Isaiah said that His stripes were for healing our infirmities or our sickness. And He even said this when He was talking to the disciples. And the importance of healing is twofold. Number one, it's not just that we get into heaven, but it's that we get into heaven whole. Now, we're going to talk about heaven Sunday. I'm pretty excited about this. This is not the message on streets of gold and crystal sea and all that stuff. But we're going to talk about heaven. And we're going to talk about the rewards of heaven. But we can be rewarded and we can have some heaven on earth in 2017. And heaven on earth could be our healing. It could be a financial need being met. It could be a relational issue being taken care of. There's just lots of different things that has to do with healing. It's not just physical healing, but healing is healing. And there are people that, you know, and one of the statistics that, you know, I'm going to share this week is the number of people that are on depressants. And I was sharing with someone coming in about the fact that there are the teenagers that park themselves on their bed with the cell phones statistically have a higher rate of suicide than those out in community, out doing things with their friends. I remember one person when growing up, or two, that committed suicide. That's all I remember. But we hear about it all the time. And so when we take a look at that, that's one of the things that Jesus died for. He died for our life and for us to be whole. And so when he took the bread and when he was sitting there with the disciples, after he had already identified Judas, he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And he said, all the time you do it, every time you do it, he said, "Think about me. Think about what you're doing here." And then he took the cup. And he said, "This represents my blood. My blood that was shed for the remission of sins." So there's sin healing, and there is all the healings that are associated with our physical body. Physical healing, mental healing, healing, all of those issues he took care of. So what I want us to do is to come as your heart leads you. Take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and then once we have finished communion, we're going to pray, not for your healing, but we're going to pray that you're healed. So I'm going to take an opportunity to bless this, and then we will share. Lord, we bring these elements before you, and we bring them before you in your name. And we believe that they represent your broken body and your shed blood. And Lord, we ask you to bless these as we bless you for what you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Body of Jesus,
brother. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin?
Jesus
is calling.
Body of Jesus, broken for you.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
Body of Jesus, broken.
Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Risen, bow who wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling.
We're going to pray now for you, but I received a text from Judy Cotman about a quarter to six today, and it said Jeff Holman was diagnosed with ALS a couple of months ago. He's about 40, has a wife and two children. She says Tara is an amazing person, and apparently she'd been blogging on Facebook, and so she asked if we would lift him up in prayer tonight. So when we pray, I would appreciate someone coming up to represent Jeff, that we can anoint you on his behalf. So, if you need prayer, come up. I will share with you, and I'm not picking on Phyllis, but I'm going to pick on Phyllis. Phyllis was here, what, about a year ago? Maybe a little. With stage 4 pancreatic cancer. What happened? Well, I believe in the Old Testament there was a king by the name of Hezekiah. And he got a bad medical report. And he prayed and took more years on earth. And God gave him 15 more years. So we're going to pray for you, for the liver, and the cancer that is, thinks it's taken over your body. But, Well, I don't think it has, because I think Jesus is going to heal you tonight. So come on up here and let's pray for you. And I don't have to ask Phyllis if she wants to be healed. But the Bible says, you know, if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil. And so anyway, that's what we're going to do. We are going to anoint you with oil, and we are going to believe. And I'm going to ask, I don't have to ask, they're coming anyway. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight in the name of Jesus on behalf of Phyllis. And Lord, we thank you and give you all the praise for healing the pancreatic cancer. There is no known cure on this earth for that other than Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we've seen a miracle. Phyllis has experienced a miracle. But we're coming to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, ask for another miracle. And ask, Father, that you touch her liver. And Lord, you restore it to the liver of her youth. And Lord, these cancer cells that have taken over her lymph nodes and in her body. In the name of Jesus, that we cast them out. And we say that in the name of Jesus, that your people have gathered around here, that we speak healing into Phyllis. And we say, cancer, and that demon of cancer, you're cast out and you can no longer have any place in Phyllis's body. But Lord, you have done it once. And Lord, we believe you're going to do it again. And we believe that you're going to give her many more years on this earth, because I don't think you're done with her yet, sharing what you have done in her life. So Lord, we thank you for that power and authority that you have invested and vested with us to pray for Phyllis. And so it's by the power of Jesus Christ that we are speaking this healing, that God will be glorified and Phyllis will go out like the cripple, dancing and celebrating that you again, Lord, have brought about health and brought about wholeness and healing. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We speak blessing on Phyllis. We speak health, wholeness, prosperity, and peace, Lord. And we are thankful that you've given her joy through this, because that is only a gift that could come from you. So, Lord, take this lady that you love and give her health and give her days on this earth and give her a witness that you have worked a mighty power in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You read them scriptures every day. But you just keep believing. Keep trusting. Because he just didn't finish with you yet.
He's always been good with everybody else. He finds the body.
Mm-hmm. That's your gift, to bestow peace on people.
Right. And
I'm excited about what God's going to do for you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Which one of you two is next? You two are obvious ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lame.
Maybe I should do this.
Might as well get over with Kevin. You got to put up with him every day. What happened here?
Well, you know,
what'd you do to him?
About 3 weeks ago, my wife and I, we got up and we were doing a morning devotion. I remember we were praying. Somehow the Spirit of God just led me, and I said, you know, Lord, I pray that you don't allow us to go through anymore than we have to. We don't have to experience anymore than we have to. Yes, let's do what's necessary. I remember praying that prayer. I didn't know why I was led to pray that prayer, but right when we were done, I picked my son up, and he was fully awake at that point of the morning. Normally he's groggy, but this morning he was awake and fully active. So I was carrying him a little bit different. I was carrying him where his back was to me, and he was, you know, and I was going down the stairs, and I opened up the baby gate. I put my foot on that floor, on that first step, and I, you know, it felt pretty sturdy because I couldn't see, so I was kind of feeling my way down the stairs. And when I transferred my weight onto that foot, it slipped from off that stair. And that moment seemed like 30 seconds. I don't know. I had several thoughts. Like, oh, no, I'm falling. What am I going to hold on to? And I'm thinking, like, well, I can't let
him
go. So the only thing I could do is hold on to him. I remember going down and falling on my back. And then we're going down the stairs, and I try to break the fall with my foot. And when I did that, I felt something really snug. And I thought, oh, you know. The first thought that came to my mind after that was, Lord, don't allow us to go through any more than we have. And I didn't know why that thought was the first thought that came to my mind. I was in pain. It was really, really, really bad. But she started asking, well, what happened? And I could not answer her because my mind was just occupied with this thought. Don't let us go through it. That was my first question. What am I supposed to get? from it. But then the Holy Spirit told me it could have been worse. This could have ended a lot more severe than in real life. So first of all, I gave God my thank you that it's not as bad. But I still figured that there's something that, and I was having this conversation with Greg, I said there's something that I need to gather from this experience. I'm still kind of collecting that. So anyway, they told me that I've got a fractured tibia, and that I am supposed to keep weight off of this foot for 6 weeks. That is such a long...
I should say, where's your boot?
It's in the car.
Good place for it.
Well, after my knee surgery, and I had that cane, and I thought, you know, throwing this cane away, because, you know. And Sydney said, you need to walk with that. And I said, I'm not walking in church with a cane. So after 1 week, I didn't. But, you know, I think it's a week of walker and a week of cane, but I'm not doing that. She's probably right.
So I'm trying to be obedient to the, and I figured, you know what? What they're asking me to do will not make it work. But the whole time, I believe in God, all of the predictions that they're potentially making. I may have surgery and I repeat, I don't receive it, so I'm here.
So it's a fractured tibia.
That's what they're telling
me. All right.
It's right there by the knee, right? Yeah. Right, just below the kneecap.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to touch Daddy. Is that okay? Man, I love those eyes.
He's beautiful.
Our Heavenly Father, what a great God. You're looking down here right now, and you're looking on Kevin. And you know his heart. And you know his leg. And we know that you didn't give it to him. And somehow, for some reason, it seems like that Satan wanted to slow him down. But we are going now, in the name of Jesus, to rebuke Satan. And Lord, we're asking in the name of Jesus that that fracture be closed and health and wholeness restored to that tibia right now in the name of Jesus. So Father, we're speaking restoration into that leg by the power and the authority that you have given to us in your name. That you said we could cast out devils, we can do greater things than you ever done. And if you can heal a lame man and you give us that authority, it's in your name, Lord, now that we say Kevin is healed by the authority of Jesus Christ. God, Kevin, God's telling me that you have no idea what good things are before you and your family. That he's going to open up doors, and not just small doors, but big doors. That you have the opportunity, because he's given you the ability, to speak and to do things beyond your imagination, beyond some your belief. He's not questioning you being a believer. It's just sometimes we kind of limit ourselves. And God's saying, and I'm taking the limitations off of you. And you're going to move forward. But you're going to move forward for me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Kevin. We thank you for his beautiful wife and that just adorable little boy. And Lord, we just pray that you just bless them greater than they could ever imagine. Lord, you said that you're going to open up doors. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Good seeing you. Great to have you.
Did you say daddy? Did you say daddy?
Yeah.
Who else is coming forward here?
I try so hard, but it's really hard for it.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to move on?
But I have to, I won't be able to do the stuff.
Okay. Well, that teaches, it tells us how to pray.
So I know I have to do it. It was my decision. If I stayed on my team, I would.
Anything else?
Also, my backseat.
We see backseat. Oh,
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Do you carry him on your side?
But I don't think that's it.
That's one thing I remember.
Really
I said, don't carry him on the side. Okay.
To one side.
Okay.
That's,
yeah.
You know, for us, it's women.
Well, let's take care of both of them.
I don't hate
for
both.
Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, for this precious mother, wife, worker that has come tonight and just asked for prayer. Lord, she's made a decision, and you gave us the power to make decisions. And so we believe, and she believes, that this is you leading her into better things. And so, Father, as she moves on, we pray, Father, for grace. And we pray for a peace in her spirit that will assure her that this is something that is good for her. It's good for her family. It's good for her career. And, Lord, we pray that you give her an opportunity as she moves and changes position to be a witness for you. Because, Lord, as you promote us in this world, you promote us spiritually. And you give us wisdom, and you give us knowledge, and you give us strength. And so, Father, as you bless her in this new position, bless her spirit. Lord, just be with her in whatever she needs. We pray that you give it to her before she ever has to ask you for it. And Lord, we pray for her back and those nerves and muscles and all that stuff that you gave us that sometimes gives us fits. And it gives us fits because Satan wants to jump into our body and wants to mess it up. But he can't mess up what you made. And so it's in Jesus' name now that we speak healing and we speak faith into this back. and into this nerve, these nerves and these muscles, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus, Father, that we come to you. And Lord, heal her now. In the name of Jesus. We bind those, the pain, we bind the discomfort, and Lord, we loose your healing power to flow throughout her body, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. May you get the glory. Because we're just having fun doing your work. In Jesus' name we pray.
Move around a little bit. Check that back. Move around a little bit. Sometimes you got to hit it again. But listen up for any pain, a twinge, anything left in that back. A little twinge. Mom, put your hand back here again. Let's finish this up. Let's finish this up. All right.
Lord, just keep working. Keep moving. Keep flowing. And Lord, just flow and flow and flow.
Infirmity. We command it now. In the name of Yeshua Christ, the pain, go. Sciatic nerve, you be peace, you relax right now. Every muscle, every ligament, every tendon, every nerve, every fiber of your being must submit to the word and the will of God. Be made fully whole right now. All of it. Every last bit. Every last bit. Move around against there. Don't put anything left. Give it a twinge.
It feels more sore than pain.
Okay. Did it move? Did it move? All right. When it moves, it's a spirit of infirmity. Let's hit that again. One last time. Let's go and do it. Wherever that was. So infirmity, we command. You bow right now. You get off. You go right now in the name of Yeshua Christ Jesus. Every last bit. All pain must go. No more soreness. Perfectly perfect. Joy, joy, peace, peace. In the name of Jesus. Do it again.
It's supposed to.
That's what God does.
That's the way it works.
Your face setting you free. That's beautiful. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. If that tries to come back on you, you tell it it's got to go. It doesn't belong. You get that power and authority. That's what we're talking about.
So you're not claiming.
Tell her about your foot.
I have a foot with the middle of the night. About. And I
remember what he told me. I had to,
Daddy,
that was
he always said, Daddy, go away now. By morning, my foot
is off.
Feel better.
Can you
be
authority to you?
Would
be made whole.
In this case, I was hurting, and I said, Daddy, make it go away now. And by pain and wet.
Okay. Amen. Faith. Faith. Awesome.
This stuff works. I tell you.
I prayed for a guy who had he was actually assaulted. He does family feud type stuff. He was in the back porch saloon. Went out, was opening up his hat, and somebody came behind him and clobbered. Which we're thinking like a 2x4 because the whole side of his face was black and blue, cracked his tooth. But when he first got hit, he went to turn and it tore his tooth. So when I go to see him, he got food, he's all sober, he's nothing. This is on Thursday it happened. I prayed for him. And it was amazing because when I went and talked to him, he'll tell me what happened. And I said, Greg, you wouldn't believe all the anger that goes with him. What do you mean? What do you mean? He said, I'm telling people about this, and every one of them wants to go and find this guy, right? He said, but we need to pray for you. He said, my body's going to, I'm looking at my neck,
We really get it. Don't worry about it. And he took our blanket. So we get it. It's on the couch. It's put out. And we're in a boot. So we have it. It does hurt. So I put my hands on it. Just like we did here. One like this, the right. Cool. Then he stands up. And when he stands up, I said, well, his eyes are really that hurt. Go over to the steps.
Yeah.
So he walks up and goes up the first step. Oh! I said, hold on. So I went over the steps. Okay. To the next. Still a little bit. All the way up the steps. Down. Then I can take care of it. He didn't make the way.
Uh-huh.
And it was awesome. And then he still had the leveling of course.
Can you pray for mine?
So I put my hand on it. When I prayed, I actually felt my hand off and looked at it. It's still black and blue.
Yeah.
But it gets to the mirror. He goes look at the mirror and comes back to me a bear. Even those who haven't actually come for a physical place of hand. Dude, do you want us to come here and lay hands on that to speed up this process?
when you mentioned...
Can you really stand in for that man?
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, you're the man.
I really don't want you guys touching.
when you were talking about that, I was thinking about a message series for January. And the thought that went through my mind was words that we hate. Unforgiveness. We hate that word. What was another one? Why? You know. Another one was entitlement. We hate entitlement. A lot of people like it. But we hate it. You know, so that's what we're going to do in January. Anyway.
Wow.
Yep.
Jeff
Holman.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks for faith and for humility of stepping forward on behalf of someone else and just saying, I want to be that guy for Jeff. I want to be the guy that your healing power goes through to him. And so, Father, we don't know Jeff, but Judy knows Jeff and knows Tara, and knows those two little boys. And Lord, when she sent the request, we know it was in faith, and we know it's in faith now that we have anointed and laid hands and believe in healing, and we've seen it tonight. And so, Father, for Jeff, we take authority over that ALS that's in that body. And we cast it out, totally remove it from his body. And, Lord, give him his health back that he might be the father that he wants to be, the husband that he wants to be. Lord, that the man to lead his family. So, Father, it is your name, but through the power that you have invested in us gathered here, that we speak healing. I want us all to say, be healed.
Be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Jeff.
Jeff. Be healed.
And Father, we just pray for his family. Lord, we lift them up and we just pray, Father, that you encourage them. We know, Father, that sometimes you heal instantaneously. Sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes a little longer. But help us to remain faithful and to continue to believe and thank you for hearing this prayer for Jeff. Because we don't believe that we need to repeat prayers over and over. We believe that we ask in faith, and then we continue to thank you for hearing that prayer and delivering Jeff. And so, Father, it's in your name that healing comes to Jeff tonight, and that his strength is renewed, his body is made whole. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're all here in a circle too. Karen Offinger is dead. Dad has a tumor on his brain.
Oh wow.
Okay. Now they said it's on the outer lining of the brain, like in the brain, the outer lining. Of course, we're going to come against that. Karen's mom is still having problems with a swallowing.
Mm.
All right. So both of those things. We're staying here together. Proclaim that in the name of Jesus.
Who? Charlotte.
And Charlotte in there also, right? We're standing here corporately. We're standing in agreement. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, you said, and I know we don't need to remind you, but you said that we need to resist the devil. And we need to resist that constant talking and pressure that he puts on us. And we need to submit ourselves to you. And so tonight we submit ourselves to you on the behalf of Karen, for her mom, for her dad, and for Charlotte. And Lord, we just pray for the ability to swallow naturally, that you blessed us all with when you made these amazing bodies. And Lord, we ask now too that you arrest this brain tumor in Karen's dad. And Lord, we pray that you shrink it down to nothing and it's gone. Because you said that you wish above all things that we prosper and that we be in health. And so if that's what you want for us, that's what we want for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lord, we speak healing into those three bodies. We speak restoration, wholeness, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel pretty. I feel like there's some power here tonight.
Apparently, my friend is making it.
I guess not.
So I told her I would.
Denise.
Okay.
Well, come here.
Okay.
We can mark that list off pretty easily.
Right. See, he has allergies. It just means, you know, she's got a virus or something. But anyway, I told her I can handle it.
This is a good night to get it handled.
Good night to get it
handled. All right, Nancy.
She has trouble breathing if she does any kind of motion, you know. So the biggest thing is the breathing.
Breathing,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Denise.
Denise.
My name is Denise.
Lord, thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come before you. And Lord, to lift up Denise. What a privilege it is to open our hearts. And what an opportunity it is to see manifestation of your work in our lives. And Lord, for these numerous things that have affected Denise, it doesn't make any difference if it's one thing or if it's many. the healing power of Jesus Christ can touch and remove and heal every infirmity and every issue that is affecting Denise tonight. And so, Father, we just, in our only way of knowing what to do is we just speak health and we speak wholeness into her. Lord, we pray for her and for her son. Lord, we are thankful that he has a mom that loves him. Thankful, Father, that he has opportunity to work. And so, Father, just bless that family in just a very special way. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Build a bond of love and relationship that you built there to let it continue to grow. And Lord, as Denise sees these miracles take place in her life, we pray that she realizes it is the power of God. And Lord, that she shares her wholeness and her wellness with others. And that she become an advocate for those that have those same types of thing. And Lord, that she can speak healing and speak health, speak wholeness, because you have touched her and touched her life, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
She was doing her best not to be laughing.
I was doing my best not to fall on the floor. I hate to tell you, but that fire is really strong.
I have seen that happen on lots of occasions. Yeah. If you want to give your back and leg a rest, I'll take you. You're just, as my wife would say, you're just too stinking cute. Well, he's probably never been told that, has he?
Okay, well, bless God, he brings healing. And I know some of you might need to go. There's no problem. We're just going to play some music here for you. So leave whenever you need to leave. We got a couple songs we'll probably play here. This is actually going to be our special on Sunday. Pastor's message is he's talking about heaven on Sunday. So there's a cool song here called Home. As soon as he clicks and gets there, I know he'll get there. He's got to get past his...
Uh-oh. He took away his freedom.
Oh, he's up there.
Okay.
I've got to figure out what song that's so slow, right?
Turning back. Thank God Almighty, I'll be free at where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go. Oh, I wanna go home, where every fear is gone. I'm living in your open arms, where I belong. Blinded eyes will finally see, the dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trump will sound, the angels will sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go. Oh, I wanna go home, where every fear is gone. I'm living in your open arms, where I belong. Where I
let's just go right to auto adrenaline. Costume change. So one of the scriptures that's being declared on Sunday is, of course, in John 14:1-5, talking about why I will prepare a mansion for you. Right? So this is good exit music for you as you're popping out here.
Lots of food, a big, big yard,
Father's house. A big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. It's my Father's house.